Hey everyone, welcome to the Weird World Podcast. This is a special Sunday episode.
Wait, no, it's not that. We do a lot of Sunday episodes.
I know, I'm just kidding.
We're a bit.
Because we forgot to upload on Thursday.
Yes, we forgot.
Yes, to upload on we both Thursday. Did.
That's true. Okay.
I know. I get the blame, but yeah. We did both forget.
That's true.
We're probably busy with stuff.
Okay.
Should we move on?
All right.
Yes.
So, what are you talking about today,
hang
Carrie?
On. Oh, what? My name's Carrie.
Oh, I'm Dean.
Yep.
What you got for us today, Carrie?
I got nothing, Dean.
Ah, that's prop. You know what? Let me just wing something. I'm just going to throw something out there. You remember 9/11?
Yes.
Yeah, some people call it 911. After
that's some people named Dean.
I've heard it's acceptable either way. Just FYI. After 9/11, America's national security apparatus went into hyperdrive,
mm-hmm.
right?
And rightfully so.
For sure.
Okay.
But they pondered every possibility in how the nation could respond and revenge this monstrous attack. The most obvious thing was, of course, we fought two wars, one of which was relevant to the action, the other one not so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we went after Afghanistan, the more relevant one, because that's where Osama bin Laden, the terrorist mastermind of 9/11, was kind of holed up. And that's where he had a space of operations, sending out his evil tentacles all over the globe. So we did that. But alas, as you recall, Osama escaped, the American vice that almost got him in the mountains of eastern Afghanistan, but did not. He was able to flee into Pakistan's. And that part of the Pakistan that he fled into, I can't remember the name of it for some reason, but it's that kind of semi-lawless borderland that the Pakistani government has little or no control over anyway. And once there, he couldn't be reached until President Obama got him
right
on May 2011. For years, though, after 9/11 and even after the war in Afghanistan, the U.S. intelligence agencies toiled away trying to think of a way to get at Osama before SEAL Team 6 did. Before that event in 2011, though, where Osama was killed, the U.S. national security agencies were trying to, you know, think of ways to weaken Osama. I mean, maybe they couldn't physically get at him, but could they weaken him? Could they, you know, harm his base of operations? It's sort of, you know, if we can't kill him, can we at least make him less effective? And so they're mm-hmm. thinking of lots of different ways to try and do this.
Wait, was the goal always to kill him, capture him and put him on trial or anything?
They would never admit that, but for sure.
Okay.
No question. No one would have put Osama on trial.
Okay. I mean, did they even pretend that's what they were trying to do?
Legally, yes. I mean, the way the story is told, he certainly gave SEAL Team no choice but to use lethal force, but who knows?
Okay.
I mean, probably. You know, he probably knew.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to do well. There had to be some way to make Osama look bad to his, you know, his followers. Can we hurt his image or something like that? If his support crumbled, maybe that would make him more available. Maybe we could get at him if he was forced to leave or he lost support. Al-Qaeda had a lot of popular support in those parts of South Asia, in Pakistan and Afghanistan, you know, and other parts of the Muslim and Arab world.
Yeah.
So it's worth a try. The task was given to CIA to try to figure out ways to do this, to weaken Osama. They probably got their best brains together in imagine a windowless conference room in deepest Virginia. I'm thinking, and says, hey, everybody, let's go. Throw it out. Let's hear it. It's ideas. Let's bounce anything off the walls here. Nothing is out of bounds. No ideas. Too dumb to at least consider. Toss it out there. No judgment here. No boundaries. It turns out there probably should have been some boundaries. Because at some point, someone in that room under those harsh fluorescent CIA office lights came up with a brilliant inspiration. Do you know what that was?
I have no idea.
That person said, I don't want to say he said, because, yeah, let's be honest, yeah. It was a he, said, let's make an Osama bin Laden action figure. We could distribute it throughout South Asia, especially Afghanistan and Pakistan. Those kids are going to love it. You can imagine the person at the head of the table is going, Kevin?
Isn't that the opposite of what we want?
What are you talking about here? An action figure? I'm like, you mean like G.I. Joe? And Kevin probably said, actually, that's exactly what I mean. In fact, let's have the guy who made G.I. Joe make the Osama action figure. I know who he is. We'll get a hold of him. This is brilliant. Now, a little aside here, the person who he was thinking of was named Donald Levine, or Levine, and he was kind of the creator of G.I. Joe, actually, in classic American fashion. He was the person credited with the invention of the spectacularly successful G.I. Joe, but as you might imagine, he didn't really invent it. He actually worked at the huge toy company Hasbro when the actual inventor of G.I. Joe, his name was Stanley Weston, came to, you know, got a meeting, put this G.I. Joe on his desk. And Weston had a fully articulated, like, 21-piece prototype doll, and even had a marketing materials and, like, a marketing plan of why this is going to do well. Because at the time, little boys didn't buy dolls. And parents wouldn't buy their boys' dolls because little boys won't play with dolls. And he said, no, no, no. If you make this, you know, this kind of macho army man kind of doll, trust me, little boys are going to play with dolls. So Levine at Hasbro bought the rights from Weston for $100,000, and it would make over $5 billion
next,
I can't remember how many years. So Levine didn't invent G.I. Joe. He bought it. But that's how it works in the world all too often. That was in 1963 when G.I. Joe was put on his desk. It's now 2005 when the CIA is having these meetings and thinking, and Kevin from the CIA said, hey, let's make an Osama action figure. So the CIA figured Levine still had it in him. He had one more, you know, great action figure to make. He was, I don't think, he wasn't any longer with Hasbro any longer, but he was still active in toy making somehow, independent, I don't know, toy maker. I don't know what he was exactly, but he was still in the industry in some sort. He
had an Etsy shop.
Maybe. And so, yeah, hey, buddy, here's an idea. Maybe you can take this idea and run with it. The CIA wanted him, by the way, because not only did he have this G.I. Joe street cred, kind of, but he was active in where Chinese, this is at a time, 2005, when, you know, China was making all these things by then, right? And he had great connection to China and to Chinese toy manufacturing.
Right.
And so they thought, okay, he can not only get it made in China, which would be great because it would be super cheap, but we think he can keep it on the down low.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did Kevin ever explain how this is going to ruin Osama bin Laden's reputation?
Oh, Kevin's idea is multi-layered, Carrie. We'll get there. Okay. Trust me. Trust Kevin. Trust Donald Levine.
But did
trust the CIA.
Did he explain it to Donald Rumsfeld or whoever it was at the time before they started?
I imagine yes.
Okay, good. Okay.
We'll get there. I'm being a little coy.
Yes.
Here on purpose. So they said, okay, Donald, you have connections to China. You can go get the cheap. You can make it on the down low because probably, you know, not only would they want to keep it a little bit secret because they're going to, you know, spring it on the children of South Asia, but I imagine there's also maybe a little bit of U.S. government plausible deniability going on there. You know, oh, no, wait, we don't know what China's doing. They made what if someone found out about it? And Osama, action figure? That's crazy. That's insane. So Levine, he presumably said something when he was presented with it. He probably said, I don't just love the idea. I am in love with the idea because he was on it. He volunteered, said, I will help you do this. So they got started and obviously it had to have a code name. So they called it Operation Devil Eyes.
Oh,
it's just a classic CIA code naming, Carrie. Don't read anything into that yet. All right. This was super top secret, had to have a code name. No one could know what it was until it hit the shelves of Toys R Us, all right? So Levine designed a 12-inch doll. Actually, it turns out it was based on, I guess he was already having a doll manufactured, a 12-inch action figure in China already. He just used that body and then—
That's a big doll.
It's a G.I. Joe size. I think G.I. Joe is about a foot tall, aren't they?
No, absolutely
they
not.
They were in the olden days.
No, they were
I had them, Carrie. They were big.
12 inches.
Yes. Yeah, they were big. They were big dolls.
I mean, we had them too.
Some boys' doll, okay?
They were Barbie sized. They were like literally the same size as Ken.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. They beat the shit out of Ken. Ken was a bitch. G.I. Joe hunted white tigers, Carrie.
You know I'm going to Google it.
Jesus. Great white sharks with a shark cage. I had both of those. Also, an astronaut, G.I. Joe. He used to throw them off the roof. So Levine gets this 12-inch doll that was ready to go.
12 inches.
Face. Oh, my God.
Oh.
The G.I. Joe you're talking about? The original. Maybe they made them smaller eventually. I don't know.
I don't know.
Good radio.
Google's not helpful.
Trust me, they're 12 inches. Anyway, can we move on?
Yeah.
Can we get past this?
Go for it.
Okay. He had this 12-inch doll already being made, the body. He said, I need a head that looks like Osama. So they got some really good pictures, all the best pictures CIA had of Osama, and they gave that to a Chinese designer, and he made a very, very good likeness of Osama's face for this doll. And so, okay, we got this doll. It looks like Osama. Let's dress it up right. So they dressed up this action figure Osama in, quote, traditional Islamic garb, a white removable 5-button robe over a 4-button white tunic with a mock collar, with off-white cloth pants and a pair of black mock Velcro boots, end quote.
Okay.
Very specific.
Yeah.
He dressed and looked like Osama. Uncanny. I've seen the pictures. We'll have the pictures up. It looks exactly like Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Very lifelike. Job well done. Donald Levine and the people in China who actually made the doll. You guys knocked it out of the park. Thank you. Levine made 3 prototypes. He had 3 of them made of these Osama dolls. And he goes back to Virginia to the CIA to present them. So here you go. What do you think? It was only then that the true genius of Operation Devil Eyes was demonstrated for those folks in CIA. And again, yes, I'm sure they knew what was going to happen. Far from glamorizing Osama bin Laden, the Osama action figure's face was treated with a material that would dissolve when exposed to heat. Now, how much heat? Nothing I read said, but it gets pretty damn hot in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Yeah.
Pakistan, where the toys were going to be shipped, right? So that was the idea. It got hot. I guess they're playing with the kid out in the hot sun, you know, in Pakistan, and the material would melt. The material on the surface of the face, and as it did so, it would peel off in the heat, and that would reveal the true Osama bin Laden. Underneath that normal Osama-looking visage was an Osama with dark red skin, these weird black markings on his face. I'll show you a picture in just 2 seconds. All over his face, and then these piercing green eyes. I guess they thought those were devil eyes. You might be asking, well, wait a second. Obviously, why weren't the eyes made to turn black? Since, as we all know from the 15-year documentary series Supernatural, black is the color of demon eyes. I don't know why they made them green, which I think was his natural eye color. So that may have been a miss. But still, the dark red, the dark skin and the markings, it looked spooky. So it worked. He's demonstrated for him the heat that it melted off, and it showed this devil Osama underneath the regular Osama. So the idea was that the kids are going to be scared. They're going to be terrified when they see, like, ah, Osama's a devil, Osama's a devil. Their parents would be scared too. And it would turn the populations of South Asia against the demon in their midst named Osama bin Laden. That literally was the concept. That was Kevin's idea. They'll see this Osama doll turn into a devil Osama. They'll hate Osama. We win.
Okay.
It's genius, Carrie. Score another one for the CIA.
Were they selling the doll for $25. I mean, how are they going to get this doll in the hands of kids?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So the CIA, with their proven track record of effectively changing the hearts and minds of people across the globe, had another victory clearly on their doorstep. And
I mean, if I were in charge, I would not endorse this idea, but okay.
Well,
go ahead.
You don't know me. Donald Levine, Carrie, he was involved. Let's not forget him. Another massive hit by this toy maker extraordinaire, Donald Levine. A friend of Levine's would later say, quote, it appealed to him because it had nothing to do with actually hurting someone. It was the softer side of the CIA, end quote.
Oh.
That was Donald's.
Yeah, the
Donald's
softer
friend.
Side. We'll just traumatize children.
And like the true wizard that he was, Levine made sure the dolls would be shipped in cool, kid-friendly backpacks. Blue for boys, pink for girls.
Oh, my God.
Carrie, that's the kind of follow-through you get when you hire the best, all right? Have no idea if in places like Afghanistan and Pakistan, if blue really is for boys and pink for girls, or if that's just a Western thing, I don't know. Here's a picture, and again, please go on our social media, and you can see that's the regular Osama. That's a great likeness.
Sure.
It's a very good likeness, trust me. I've seen, and he's got the whole beard, the white turban. Here is Osama the devil once it peeled away and melted off the surface. Describe those markings.
I mean, they look kind of like tribal markings.
I was just
saying,
they look a little bit like sort of like a Maori tattoos, you know, warrior markings, kind of. The one on the forehead looks almost spider-like a little bit. Not 8 legs, but a little bit like a,
Yeah.
Like a sort of spider-like.
Honestly, it's not as scary as I thought.
It's not. I know. Why that represents devil, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure with a black. If they had, honestly, if they'd done a red face and like black eyes, like all coal black eyes, like black-eyed kids, I think that would have been more effective.
Yeah.
But they did, he still has the beard, he still has the turban, and he has just some weird warrior-like tattoo kind of black markings.
I thought the skin would be more bright red.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're working with materials that melt in heat and exposes what's beneath. It's not easy, all right? So this was a huge success. I mean, we all remember when Osama Devil Dolls swept over South Asia and they flipped everyone against him and they turned the Osama over to the U.S. to be tried. No?
I don't remember that at all.
That's right. No one remembers any of that because it didn't happen. It's because the CIA blinked. At the last minute, they nixed the idea before it could be mass-produced and shipped out. They saw the prototype and they said, you know, nice job, Donald. Good idea, Kevin. We're not going to do it. It's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
At least that is what the CIA claimed later on when this was exposed. After the Washington Post ran a story about the Devil Doll in 2014, exposing it, the CIA fairly quickly declassified the materials about it and the program, and they put out a statement. That statement read, quote, the action figure idea was proposed and rejected by CIA before it got past the prototype stage. To our knowledge, there were only 3 individual action figures ever created, and these were merely to show what a final product might look like. After being presented with these examples, the CIA declined to pursue this idea and did not produce or distribute any of these action figures. Furthermore, CIA has no knowledge of these action figures being produced or distributed by others. If that sounds a little defensive to you, it's because it is. It's very defensive. In that post story, they said, no, it's not true. They didn't just make the 3 prototypes and then said no. The Post alleged that they had a source in China. This is about 9 years after it was made, right? Uh-huh. They had a source in China involved in toy manufacturing who was at the factory involved in this actual manufacturing of this Osama doll. And he said, no, there weren't just 3 made. There was about 1,000 made. Certainly several hundred of these were made. And he said, the last I saw them, they were being loaded onto a freighter in 2006 headed for Karachi in Pakistan, the major port of Pakistan. Uh-huh. So according to that person, it was pretty serious. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. As far as I know, there are no reports of 1,000 or so Osama dolls scaring the crap out of little Pakistani and Afghan kids in 2006 or after that. So I don't know. Maybe the material didn't get hot enough to melt off and expose his true satanic face. I want to think that's true because if that's true, that means the CIA really did make an Osama action figure that didn't turn evil and actually helped endear him probably in the hearts and minds of those Pakistani and Afghani kids. Maybe some kids still have this little robe action figure of their hero and they have him play and he orders the deaths of infidels and things like that. I don't know. I mean, so if they really did this, because I feel like some media source in 2006 would have known about it. I think so. Although I feel like that's probably true for any Osama action doll. I don't know. Did Saudi Arabian companies make Osama action dolls? I doubt it.
Too.
So the fact that we never heard about that in 2014 and we only saw their prototypes makes that unlikely that 1,000 really were made. Yeah. So the Post probably had a bad source there. But it is amazing if that happened, if they did send a bunch out. At least 3 Osama action figures were made, as we know, right? One of these came up for auction not long after the death of Donald Levine in 2014. It's because he kept one and was in his estate. So his son says, yeah, I know what this is. He told me about it. He authenticated. Yeah. Yes. His son didn't know shit. He wants to sell it.
Yeah.
As a legit one of only 3 in existence in the world. So they put down a minimum $2,500 bid for a starting price. This is very rare. Are there really 3 of them?
No, I know. That's low.
I thought so too. What do you think the winning bid came in at?
$3 million.
Oh my God, Gary.
What?
Okay. 11,879. Oh. You're worse than me with currency updates. Jesus Christ. At least say $7 trillion. $3 million?
Yeah, I don't know.
So you got some douchey tech bro who goes, yeah, dude, man, I'll spend someone else's money on this. No. A little less than 12,000 bucks, which is still a lot more than they thought they were going to get. Yeah. 4 years later, another doll was auctioned. I don't know whose it was. Huh. And it went for only $6,250, which I'm honestly a little surprised by that.
Maybe that one wasn't authenticated.
I don't know. But the winning bidder was in the first one, at least, was anonymous.
Yeah.
So I can kind of see why you'd want to be.
Yeah.
So what about the last of those three acknowledged dolls? Where's the third one?
Yeah.
That doll remains to this day at CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, of course.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't want to be reminded of some of their bold successes from the past? The CIA does.
Yeah.
They can just look across the world and see all the great things they've done for the world.
Yeah.
That is the story of the Osama bin Laden devil doll action figure that the CIA really did make and was at least very close to moving this into fruition.
What a dumb idea.
In that meeting that I'm presuming they had, it's like, okay. You know what? It turns out there are dumb ideas. And that's one of them. Next, and you move on.
Yeah.
You don't go, really? If they see the devil face, it just shows you how sort of paternalistically simple-minded they think everyone is. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm scared. Osama's bad. He must be a devil.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Kids would be laughing their asses off.
It's pretty silly.
Afghanistan and Pakistan with this.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, once that started happening, a lot of people would probably want one because of that, you know?
It was a huge success in a way they didn't fully intend. That. What's your favorite action doll? Is it Barbie?
Well, Barbie's not an action doll.
Action figure? If they're... See, they called them dolls because that was the name for them, but G.I. Joe's a doll. It just had movable arms and legs.
Yeah.
But they're just a doll. They called them action figures because they knew boys didn't want to buy a, quote, doll. And the parents wouldn't buy them a, quote, doll. That's the only reason the word action figure. They're all dolls.
Yeah. No, I had Barbies and played with Barbies as a kid. But as you know, when I grew up to be a good card-carrying feminist, mm-hmm. I would not allow our firstborn daughter mm-hmm. to have Barbies or play with Barbies.
She still hates you to this day for that.
No, she doesn't, because then I think her sixth birthday... our friends decided to defy me, and
really?
She got a bunch of Barbies. Yeah.
A bunch of Barbies.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And
were you livid?
No.
I
knew it was going to happen eventually, so I didn't care. And then she wasn't a big, she still was not a big Barbie. She never was a big Barbie.
No. She was at Sweet Streets.
Player. No, that was Aaron and Emma. Okay. And then
a little after her. What was her big doll?
Aaron didn't play with
she liked dolls.
Barbies either.
Rachel didn't have dolls.
She had like baby dolls and stuff. Okay. And then as she got older, a little bit older, she played with Polly Pockets.
Polly Pockets. I remember those.
Yeah.
Did 100 of those.
Yeah. And Emma was the Barbie kid.
Yes.
And of course, post Barbie movie, I have done a whole 180.
Yes, you have. You're like people wearing Barbie pajamas outside to restaurants.
Yeah,
you're completely okay with that now.
Too.
You were so adamant against it. Now you're in favor of it. Same mm-hmm. with Barbies. Now, well, they're more feminist.
It's slightly different. But
Barbie's more of a feminist icon now.
Yeah, it really is. And if you haven't seen the Barbie movie, go see it.
How about He-Man Master of the Universe? How about the Woody doll? There's some great dolls out there. Remember the Woody doll?
The Woody doll.
The Woody doll. We had the kids had a Woody doll. Remember that?
No, our kids never had a Woody doll.
Yes, they did.
Woody from Toy Story?
Woody from Toy Story.
Nope.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You had different kids. That might have been my other family. Because I absolutely remember them having a Woody doll.
I don't.
Yeah, they did.
I'm pretty sure.
Hey, listeners,
them.
They for sure did.
And I very well easily could have forgotten it.
Hey, whatchamacallit, too. What was the Tim Allen character?
I mean, I wouldn't call it a doll. They probably like from Happy Meals and stuff like that. Mm. They never had like a big one that we bought at Disneyland
It was life size. It was a life size Woody doll. It moved on its own and it spoke. So that was the story of Osama bin Laden devil doll. Hope you enjoyed that little weird bit.
I did. It was weird.
Next up, we start a three-part extravaganza on a topic what I've been wanting to do for a very, very long time. Carrie?
Flat Earth.
Flat Earth.
It's going to be a time commitment, guys.
It's worth every minute.
Really
of it.
Be committed.
Deep dive.
The Weird World.
In the flat. Thanks, Carrie. Thanks for driving away the audience for that. I appreciate that. All right. Until next time.
Thanks for listening.